Pirkei Avos, and we are up to Mishnah Gimel in the first Perek, where the Mishnah tells us the following. Antignos Ish Socho, this is the first entry, just to reorient ourselves. Antignos Ish Socho Kibel Mishimon HaTzadik. We learned about Shimon HaTzadik, we learned about the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, and Antignos Ish Socho learned from them. Hu Haya Omer Altiu Ka'avadim HaMishamshim Es Harav Almanas LeKabel Pras. We should not live life with a perspective that the only reason why we serve God is because we look forward to the reward that He will give us. Ela havu ka'avadim ha-meshamshim es harav shelo al-menas le-kabel pras. And we mentioned a couple of weeks ago the major mistake that came about as a result of a misunderstanding of this Mishnah. There were those who came to the shir that day and thought that it meant, not here, but back in the times of the Mishnah, there were those who thought that their Rebbe was teaching them that there is no schar, that there is no reward in the world to come, and there is no tchias ha-mesim. And that is certainly not at all what he meant to convey. All he was trying to say was that obviously the Ribono Shel Olam, obviously God will give us reward, and obviously there is schar va-onesh, but at the same time they were saying that the greatest way that one can serve God is not always thinking about the reward that you are going to get. And I mentioned last week on the Monday night shiur, I know many of you were not there, but on the Monday night shiur, I mentioned about this point. Imagine you have a relationship. It could be a husband, a wife, a parent, and a child. Imagine just for a minute for a husband and wife, if every time one does something for the other spouse, they always take an accounting of what it is that they do. Well, I took out the garbage this morning, and therefore I expect you to do this. And if everything in a relationship is only going to be about what am I getting, and what are you getting, and how am I doing, and how are you doing, that's not a very meaningful relationship. That's not really the way relationships are meant to develop. And therefore, here the Mishnah tells us very simply, if our whole relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only going to be, well, I kept Shabbos and therefore I deserve X, and I did this mitzvah and therefore I deserve Y, that is not going to be a relationship that is so meaningful, but it does not mean that we will not be rewarded. Schar va'onesh is so important. The idea of reward and punishment is something that the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim. There were seven things that were created before the world itself came into creation, which means these things were necessary for a foundation of a world. They were so critical, they were so essential for human experience, and therefore God had to create them before He created us. And in that list, two of the things that are mentioned are Gan Eden and Gehenim. And you'll ask yourself, why were those created before man himself was created? And the answer, I believe, is quite simple. Because for man to have a meaningful experience on this earth, they have to understand primarily that there is schar va'onesh, that there is reward and there is punishment, that there is Gan Eden and there is Gehenim, and that we all have the opportunity to choose, a bechira chafshis, we all have the opportunity to make that decision whether or not we want to find ourselves in one place or perhaps in the other. I'm sorry that the last year of the season is going to be this very somber topic, but it's a very important one. As we know, the Rambam lists what he believes are the 13 principles of faith. And we have it in every Siddur, and this is a very important ideal for all of us to be aware of. But in that list, the Rambam writes our principle here. And if you look at number Beis here, the Rambam says, "Ani mamin be'emuna shleima, she'haborei yisbarach shemo." I believe that God is a gomel tov l'shomrei mitzvosav, umanish la'ovrei mitzvosav. I believe that God is going to pay back those who are shomrei mitzvosav, and He is a manish, and He is one who will certainly punish those who are ovrei mitzvosav, which means the Rambam does not include here in the list that we have to keep Shabbos, and the Rambam does not include in the list that we need to keep kosher, and all the mitzvahs that we know to be a part of our religious experience. What the Rambam here writes are principles that every Jew needs to firmly be aware of and make note of. And one of those, says the Rambam, is we need to remind ourselves all the time that there is schar and there is onesh. That there is a person living on this earth, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes an accounting of everything that we do, and He will be manish la'ovrei mitzvosav, and He will be gomel tov l'shomrei mitzvosav. And that is something that the Rambam feels is so critical for our belief. There were many who disagreed with the Rambam and felt there is no reason to make 13 principles of faith. You can boil it down to only three. One of those personalities was Rabbi Yosef Albo, who was one of the great philosophers a few hundred years ago. In the Sefer HaIkarim, he writes, "I believe that there are only three principles of faith." And he boils it down to emunah b'Hashem, And the second principle that he writes is Schar Va'onesh. He agrees with the Rambam that one of the most fundamental principles that every Jew needs to be aware of at all times is that there is Schar Va'onesh. And the reason why it's so important is because that really is something that can affect so much of the decision-making process that we make in our lives. We have sometimes an inclination, and we have an interest in doing something that we know is not right. And something that can perhaps deter us from doing that is if we actually remind ourselves that Yesh Din V'Yesh Dayan, there is a God up there in heaven who is watching, and there is a God who does take an accounting of everything that is going on. So we mentioned in previous weeks, I'll just say it very briefly, that the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato, in his Mesilas Yesharim talks about why is it that we're here on this earth? And Chazal tell us clearly, Mi Shatarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yochal B'Shabbos. We have a room of women here, and we know that if we don't prepare on Erev Shabbos, we know that we will have nothing to eat on Shabbos, and our children won't take care of it for us, and no one else in the house will take care of it in our stead. And therefore, the Gemara tells us that is the same way of a basic understanding for what it is that we are meant to do here on this earth. Misha Tarach Be'erev Shabbos, if somebody is busy preparing on Erev Shabbos, Yochal B'Shabbos, you will be able to reap the benefits of all your hard work once Shabbos comes in. And the same applies here. Somebody who understands that the whole experience of life here is only an Erev Shabbos, but all of this is leading toward the Shabbos that we are going to experience, to the Shabbos that we are going to have the privilege of being a part of, then someone who worked hard here on the Erev Shabbos stage will be able to appreciate that stage of Shabbos itself. And that is what the Ramchal spends a lot of time trying to explain. But here I saw the Chafetz Chaim writes very beautifully, if you look at number Gimel. And he says just an example to explain this and to understand it in our very simple terms. And he says in his time, once a year there was a Yerid Gadol Be'ir Leipzig. Leipzig was the big community at the time. And once a year they had a communal fair, they had a big show. And merchants from all over the country used to come, all converging into Leipzig, and everybody used to do all kinds of business dealings while they were there at the show. And he says they come there at this annual time of year, Yashvu Kama Anashim B'Misada. After a whole day's work, they all go out one night to eat dinner together in the restaurant. Va'achlu V'Shasu, and they all eat a lavish meal. As they're eating there, Pana Aleim Ishachad Itonai Bimikzo. They have a reporter who comes and he walks into the restaurant and he notices that all these businessmen are sitting around the table. Bebakasha Shayomrilo Lama Bo Elayirid. And he goes around and he says, you know, I'm writing some kind of report about why it is that everybody's here in Leipzig this week. I'm writing for whatever newspaper is the local paper, and I'd like to know why you're all here. Each one of the merchants answers whatever he felt was the appropriate answer. Each one explains why it is that he left his family for a month and he came to the city of Leipzig in order to be a part of this fair. One of them says, I came to buy Hasheni Bar Limkor Schora. The second one says, no, I came with my merchandise because I have a lot to sell. Uchayotzebo, and each one is explaining exactly why it's in his best of interest for his business and for his company that he come to this show once a year. Hayasham Ish Tipish Achad. There's one foolish man who was sitting there at the table as well. Sha'amar, and he tells this reporter, Ani basi liyarid laitzi kidei lechol arucha ti'ima. You know why I'm here? Because I'm having a lavish dinner here with my friends. Is that not a good reason to be here? Ukedei lishtos yayin tov. And as he said that, partsu kulam b'tzchok, everybody starts to laugh. Really? Do you really believe that's the reason to leave your family for a week or for a month and to go through all of this hassle to travel to Leipzig all just because there's a restaurant here? Is that really why you're here? Ki halo ein zeh tachlis shel hayarid. That is not the objective of why all of us came together. I mean, you obviously don't understand why we're here. And Kimokain writes the Chafetz Chaim, as hypocritical as that story is, and as silly as that person sounds, writes the Chafetz Chaim, Choshvim harbe b'nei adam, many human beings, unfortunately, have the same limited perspective. And that is, they think, Shabo le'olam hazeh rak lechol v'lishtos. So you ask a person, why did God create you? Think about it. why did God create me? And how often do I ever take the time to think about why I'm here and what mission I'm supposed to accomplish and what it is that God actually wants me to do? There are some who will certainly answer the question with a straight face, and they'll say, well, God created me because he wants me to enjoy life, and I can live in a beautiful community like we do, and I can have a beautiful home, and I can drive a great car, and I don't even have to work because I made enough money in my previous life, whatever it might be, and everything's wonderful and life is great, and we go out to Central Avenue every day to eat breakfast and, you know, with our friends, and we go out to the gym in the afternoon, and we do all the things that just make life wonderful, and that's why I'm here. Well, all that's great, but that's just as silly a response as that person who comes to the Yerid, who comes to the fair in Leipzig, and who thinks that the objective of being in this community is simply because you want to go out to eat with your friends. Now, this does not mean that we don't have a right to enjoy the lives that we live. After all, those people who come to the fair, those people who come to do business in Leipzig, also need to eat dinner. They obviously have a right to go out to eat and take care of themselves, and certainly we should do that. After all, if God didn't want us to enjoy this world, he would not have created it to be as enjoyable as it can be. But along with all of that, a person needs to take a step back and sometimes think, well, why did I actually come here? What am I here for? Why did I leave the Olam HaNeshamas behind? Why did I leave the confines of God himself to come here? For what purpose? For what reason? And that's what the Ramchal opens, his magnum opus, Mesilas Yesharim. He starts off with the following line, that every Jew, Yisod HaChassidus V'Shorash HaAvodah Tamima, what is the objective of every person who's really a God-fearing Jew? It is sheyizbarer v'yisames etzel ha'adam, that we should spend an entire life trying to figure out and understand and appreciate ma chovaso ba'olamo. What is my objective? Why am I here? And I would venture to say that most people probably never give a moment's thought until they're in their older age as to why it is that we're here. What is the objective and what is the purpose? And that's what the Chafetz Chaim writes. It's worthwhile every so often to just take a step back and look at the bigger picture and try to gain a perspective as to why it is that we're all here and what it is that God expects us to accomplish here on this earth. But what is clear from all of this discussion is that the premise of everything that we talk about when we say that there's going to be schar, that there's going to be reward, the premise of all of that is that the reward will not be in this world. The premise is that there will be a reward in the world to come. That is, I think, a basic understanding that we all share. And what I find fascinating is that if you look in the Gemara seems to say that it's not so clear that that is true. What we mean by that is the following. Let's start with the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Perhaps everything we're going to say today is elementary and is known to everyone, but I thought now that we come to this Mishnah here, it's worth reviewing once in a blue moon what it is that we work toward and what it is that we look forward to. What is Olam Haba? How do we understand what that experience is going to be for us? You know, we say we hope that God is going to repay us for everything that we do. What is that payment and where will it come? So let's begin with the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin. Kala osa mitzvah achas meitivin lo, says the Gemara. Somebody who performs a mitzvah will have a good life. U'ma'arichan lo yamav. Not only will you have a good life, but also God will give you a long life. V'nochel es ha'aretz. And you will also have a portion in the land of Israel. Now, just in general, I find that fascinating, the way the Gemara says that. A long life, a good life, and a portion in the land of Israel. Nochel es ha'aretz. Almost like that's on par. If you don't have a portion in the land of Israel, it's almost like you don't have a good life. It's pretty clear. But anyway, the Gemara here says, contrasting that, kol she'eino osa mitzvah achas, ein meitivin lo. Somebody who is not careful to do the mitzvos will not have a good life. Ein ma'arichan lo yama, ve'eino nochel es ha'aretz. So that's the way the contrast that the Mishnah draws for us is, somebody who does the right thing in life will have a great life, somebody who does the wrong thing in life will have a horrible life. And the Ramban says, I don't understand, is that true? Why is it that the Gemara here says you're going to be repaid for certain things? Don't we know we say a Mishnah every morning? Let's look at the Gemara even further, where we're told, don't we know it says, Elu Dvarim Shadamocha Perisayim Ba'olam Azev HaKaren Kayemes Lola Olam Haba? Don't we say this every morning at the start of our davening when we mention the fact that we look forward to the day when God will pay us back for the mitzvahs that we do in Olam Haba. So what do you mean? If you do the right thing, everything's going to be good. And you're going to have a long life and God will give you a portion in the land of Israel. But if you do the wrong thing, you won't. Really, is that the way the world works? Don't we know? Have we not come across Tzadik Veralo, Rasha Vetovlo? Have we not seen in our world that there are plenty of people who do the wrong things and yet life seems to be going very well for them? Plenty of people who seem to be doing all the right things from our perspective and life does not seem positive at all. So, this Gemara is a little troubling. And the Gemara comes to the final conclusion, which is, Rava Amar, Hamani, who made that statement that HaKeren Kayemes Lola Olam Haba? Who said that we look forward to the day when we will have the payment in Olam Haba and not here on this earth? That is Rabbi Yaakov Hida Amar, Schar Mitzvah, Bahai Al Maleka. Rabbi Yaakov is of the opinion that the payment for all of the mitzvahs that we perform in this earth is not going to be here, it is going to be in the world to come. Which I find very interesting. I find it interesting the way the Gemara sets this up, because I think most of us would have taken it as a given that all schar comes in the world to come, that all of our reward will be then. And yet the Gemara seems to say it's a disagreement. It's not so clear. Rabbi Yaakov is of the opinion that schar mitzvah b'hai al-malekah, that we don't get repaid in this earth. But it seems that many others disagree. Now we happen to adopt the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov, and we believe that our schar that we look forward to is going to be given in Olam Haba. And the question is why? If a person works so hard in life, why is it that we need to wait until Olam Haba in order to receive that payment, in order for God to show us how much He appreciates what it is that we may have done and all the sacrifices that we've made throughout the entire experience of life? Why is it that we need to wait until we come to Olam Haba? And many Mefarshim explain that perhaps the reason why is because we have no way of fully understanding and appreciating what that extent of the payment is going to be. Meaning, our world is a finite world. We have ways in which we internalize and understand our world. And for God to repay us the amount that we deserve, even for one mitzvah, there is no way for a human being to ever get that kind of profound payment in finite terms. That's the way the Mefarshim explain it. And this is why we need to wait until we get to Olam Haba, because that is something that goes beyond our understandings. And therefore, that is why the Gemara says, Schar mitzvah b'hai al-malekah, because the amount of reward that we deserve for one mitzvah that we do is something that cannot be understood in this earth. Just to bring that down a little bit for us to understand it, let us just say the following. We have a Mishnah later on in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, where the Mishnah tells us, Yafa shah acha shal koras ruach ba'olam haba. One moment of appreciation, one moment of the experience in Olam Haba is greater than kol chayi ha'olam hazeh. Now what does that mean? One moment of an experience of clarity in Olam Haba is greater than kol chayei ha'olam hazeh, than all of the lives that we experience here in this world. What does that mean? So Rav Dessler, one of the great Baalei Machshava, tries to explain to us what that phrase means. And you look in number Hey here, where we quote Rav Dessler, and it's so beautiful. It's hard, a little bit in the abstract, but I think it's amazing when you try to understand it. He quotes that Mishnah and he says, Yafa sha'acha shal koras ruach ba'olam haba, mikol chayi ha'olam hazeh. Chefzi legalos bazeh, says Rav Dessler, I'd like to share with you what I've learned from my teachers in how to understand this message of the Mishnah. What does it mean, one moment of Olam Haba is greater than kol chayi ha'olam hazeh? Listen what he says. Hu pirish. Ki inyan kol chayi ha'olam hazeh hu. What does it mean when we say it's greater than all of Olam Hazeh? You know what that means? It means very literally the following. Im nekabetz, if one can just imagine, use your imagination for just a few minutes. If one can do that, and you would be able to consolidate, el toch rega echad es kol hashos. I'm a young father, I don't have older children. So for me, the milestones in my children's lives so far have been when they were born. We only have boys, so I don't know what it means to have a girl, but we've made 4 Shalom Zachars. We've had 4 Brisim. A few of our children have started to learn the Aleph Beis, and that was very exciting when you go to school for that Chumash play and the Siddur play. And for me, that's my understanding of milestones. But then as you get a little older, you make the bar mitzvahs and the bat mitzvahs, and then you have children getting married, and then you have children who are having their own children, and you have so many memories and so many moments that you appreciate about the experience of your life. Writes Rav Dessler, imagine you were able to consolidate all of those feelings, all of those memories, and all of those expressions of love and appreciation from all of those moments in your life that gave you nachas, that gave you enjoyment. And every good restaurant that you went out to eat in, and every good dinner that you had, and every moment of enjoyment, anything that you like to do, imagine if you could consolidate all of that into one experience. Now, we can't even imagine such a thing. But imagine. I would assume that the enjoyment that you felt at your child's bar mitzvah was paling in comparison to the enjoyment and excitement that you felt at your child's wedding. I would imagine, right? Anybody here has had made a wedding before? So I would imagine that feeling of excitement that you had when you got to that milestone made the bar mitzvah look like nothing. Correct? So imagine, meaning there are... No? Wow, okay. It just means that you got a little older and you weren't happy about the fact that life was moving along. But I think it does mean that there are certain levels of excitement that we have. You go out to eat, it's very nice. It's very romantic, it's wonderful. But that's not the ultimate. There are things in life that are greater than that. So imagine, he says, if you can just catapult yourself to a moment of excitement in life that's greater than all of that put together. Imagine if you can consolidate and combine all of those memories from life that gave you enjoyment and put them into one experience. And now God presents that to you. How do you think that would feel? But then, writes Rav Dessler, that is not what it means, kol chayei ha'olam hazeh. Because that's only your positive experiences in life. Kol chayei ha'olam hazeh means not only all of the positive moments and experiences in your life, but take all of the positive moments and experiences of every person that you know and every member of the world and consolidate all of that into one moment and try to internalize what that kind of experience would mean. But then, writes Rav Dessler, that also wouldn't be the definition of kol chayei ha'olam hazeh, because that means the entire existence of man in this world. So he says, if you can just use your imagination for a few more moments and take all of the positive memories and all of the exciting times from the first human being that was created until today and consolidate all of that and then present it to a person, that, says the Mishnah, Yafesh Achas Shal Koras Ruach Ba'olam Haba Mikol Chayei Ha'olam Hazeh. One moment of enjoyment in the world to come, spending time with God Himself, is more profoundly exciting and meaningful than Kol Chayei Ha'olam Hazeh, means putting together not only the moments of enjoyment and excitement in your life, but putting together the moments of enjoyment from every human being from the beginning of time, and being presented with all of that in one experience, in one shot. That, writes the Mishnah, is what one moment of Olam Haba is worth. So the next time you have an interest in making a decision that's perhaps the wrong decision for what you should do, you have a juicy piece of Lashon Hara that you're not sure whether or not you should share, just think about this Mishnah. Do you know what I get for the self-restraint, for holding myself back, for being able to overcome whatever it is that you might have an interest in doing? Just think about Yafesh Sha Achas Ba'olam Haba. Think about the enjoyment of one moment and try to compare it to the enjoyment that you're going to have from whatever it is that you're about to do. From eating that thing that really does not have the hashgacha that you know you're not supposed to eat. From going on that vacation that you know you're not supposed to be on. From not keeping Shabbos the way that Shabbos is supposed to be observed. from all the different examples that we know in our lives. Just think about Yafa Shah Acha Shal Koras Ruach Ba'olam Haba Mikol Chai Ha'olam Hazeh. It's greater than every moment of enjoyment from our entire lives put together in one experience. One moment of Olam Haba is more profoundly impactful. Just puts all of this in a context, and it makes us understand a little bit what exactly it means. The Gemara says in Maseches Erevin, Daf Chav Beis, commenting on a pasuk, Umishalem Lesonav Alpanav Laha'avido. So the Gemara makes a comment on that, that it's referring to the Rishayim Ba'olam Hazeh, those who do not live life performing the will of God at all times, or even most of the times. And the Gemara there says that those kinds of people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishalem Gemul Lahem Ba'olam Hazeh, those kinds of people get repaid in this world. But everybody else has to wait until the world to come. The question is, why is that fair? If Olam Haba is so much more profoundly exciting, why is it that the Rishayim should receive their payment here on their experience in this world? Why does that make sense? So the Night of Yehuda writes, maybe the reason why is because, what is Olam Haba? What are we going to do in Olam Haba? Anybody know? What? You've asked who? At the men? All right, so tzaddikim means tzidkanios as well. That's not dafka. But you know, it's interesting. We'll see in the Rambam a little bit later that Olam Haba seems to be a place where everybody just sits around and learns with God in the middle. I don't know. Can I ask you, how many people in this room are interested? I don't believe that I'm a heretic, but if you're going to say, that's what I look forward to, really? A whole life of sacrifice just to sit in a shir? I mean, shiurim are wonderful, but I don't know. I hope God is a million times better magid shir than I am. But really? Is that really what we look forward to? So says the Night of Yehuda, yes, that is what we look forward to. So the Rasha, who never sat in a shir in his life, and that would be the biggest punishment to him, so God says, you know what? I'm not going to give you that horrible punishment in the world to come. You're not going to appreciate that. Let me just give it all out to you here. Because this is really the way you appreciate life. This is what you enjoy. Okay, that's what the Night of Yehuda says. But tzaddikim, who have a perspective, who can really appreciate what that reality will be, so then God will pay them back there. Okay, it's one observation. Writes the Chafetz Chaim very differently. Let's see on the bottom, the Chafetz Chaim is in his Sefer Ala Torah, where he says, Al derech hamashal. Let me explain to you, says the Chafetz Chaim, why we need to be paid back in the world to come. And a Rasha, who perhaps at some moments in his life may have done some good things along the way, is able to receive that payment here in Olam Hazeh. Why do we have that distinction? Why should there be that difference between us and those individuals? Says the Chafetz Chaim as follows. Al derech hamashal, l'mi sheyesh lo check. Imagine somebody gives you a check. V'rotza l'alechas im ashtarcho v'azeh v'lita l'asma osav. So, you know, I was thinking about this Chafetz Chaim, just from my own experience. When I was studying in Israel, I did not have a bank account. I'm not an Israeli citizen. So I didn't have a bank account there in Israel. So somebody gave me a check on one occasion. What do you do with a check there? I can't cash it in a bank. So what do? You go to Mea Shearim, you go to one of those money changers, and whatever, they believe you that your check is real and it's not a fraud, and they exchange the money. Fine, write the Chafetz Chaim. Somebody gave me a $100 check, so I can go to that kiosk in Mea Shearim, give them a $100 check, and they have no problem giving me the money. It's not so much money. Even if the check is not valid, okay, at worst they lost $100. Shaper yacholuli kanes lesnif bank prati v'leframa osav. I can go to an ATM machine, I can go to a money changer, a small place, and they'll be happy to change it for me. A bank like that has enough money, a money changer has a $100 spare that they can give me to cash a check. Imagine, one day I get a letter in the mail that I've won the lottery. And they send me, you know, that big poster check, whatever that is. I don't know what they make that out of. You should be zocha. Someone in this room should one day hold one of those things. But imagine you get one of those in the mail. and I take it to my local money changer in Mea Shearim, and I say, you know, I just got a letter that I'm owed $400 million because I won the Mega Millions. It's going to look at you like you're crazy. You think I have that money here? But I'm going to say, what do you mean? It's FDIC insured. I'm not making this up. Look at it. You don't believe me? Of course I believe you, but I just don't have that kind of money here in my store. So where are they going to send me, writes the Chafetz Chaim? They'll send you to a real bank. So you go to the bank down the block, you open the door, go to the teller, and you give them this $5 million check. Well, we also don't have such money laying around in our bank here. So where are they going to send you? Everyone's going to send you to the next place, until finally you end up by the United States Treasury. They are the only people, or the state legislature, they are the only people who have enough funds to actually give you whatever it is that you might be owed, because you came in with a check that's just so expensive, it's so much. So a normal bank that operates on a general budget does not have that kind of money lying around to be able to give you when you present a check like that, writes the Chafetz Chaim. You need to go to the national treasury. In a small bank, or certainly in a kiosk in the middle of the street somewhere, they're not going to have such funds available to give you. Writes the Chafetz Chaim that, in very simple terms, is the way to understand why it is that God needs to pay us back in Olam Haba, and it cannot be here. The tzaddik shemekayim mitzvos rabos. When you have a person who lives life of sacrifice, who lives life of doing the right thing, uvechal echad ve'echad mehem hu ose umekayim b'kedusha v'tahara b'chal prater v'dikdukeha. If you do the right thing and you do it properly, hare ein maspik makom ba'olam b'snif hakatan hazeh shel habank. You know, our whole world is to be considered in such a case like the small kiosk that just doesn't have enough money available to pay out whatever it is that you're owed. And therefore, writes the Chafetz Chaim, what do you want God to do? How should He pay you back? Whatever He'll give you here is never going to be sufficient. It's never going to be enough. Which should give us pause to be able to appreciate how incredible the schar is for a mitzvah that we do. If God tells us, I cannot pay you back in this earth because there is nothing in the world that will ever be able to add up to the amount that you're owed for one Shabbos that you've kept, does that not give us a perspective of what Shabbos is worth in the eyes of God? Does it not give us a perspective of what we should look forward to when the Ribbono Shel Olam will ultimately give us all that we deserve for whatever it is that we do in this world? So yes, it's true, our Mishnah says that our perspective in life should not be solely, when am I going to get repaid and how much is God going to pay me back? Yes, it's true, one should not live life always worrying about that, but at the same time, we should every once in a while in life begin to understand that yes, schar is something real, that reward is something tangible, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, that God Himself, for those of us who believe that schar va'onesh is one of the Yud Gimel Ikari Ha'amuna, like the Rambam says, understand what the Ribbono Shel Olam has in store for you. Understand that every decision that you make is not just going to waste, it is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking such a careful accounting of. Yes, Yesh Din V'Yesh Dayan. There is somebody who is careful to make sure that every thought, that every action, and that every positive interaction that we have is going to be registered and will be paid back. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this bank that you inhabit here, the bank that you frequent, is not big enough, is not professional enough to be able to pay you back for the shtar chov, for the check that you're holding. And therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam says, we have to wait until the world to come. There's a question that was asked by a number of Mefarshim. Personally, it's something that never really bothered me, so that's why I don't want to get too much into it. But there's an assumption that the Talmud Yerushalmi has that God keeps His Torah the same way He expects us to keep it, He keeps it as well. That's what the Yerushalmi writes, based on a pasuk, I believe, Ushmartem es mishmarti. God says, you are expected to keep my laws. So what do you mean my laws? God doesn't keep the law. So the answer is, the expectation is that God is going to keep the law equally to the expectation that we are held to keep the law as well. Well, if that's the case, there are mefarshim that are bothered. Don't we have a law? Lo salin pu'ula sachir itcha ad boker. You're not allowed to wait to pay your worker. If you had a day worker, you have to pay them immediately when they're finished with the work. You cannot wait until the next day. Well, the question is, if that's true, how does God wait all these years to pay us back till we get to Olam Haba? Okay, it's a question that personally has never bothered me at all. But there are many Mefarshim who are very troubled with this question and try to figure out what the answer is. So some say, well, one day for God is like 1,000 years for us, so that's like, you know, waiting till the next day. I don't know. Whatever. If you're bothered by the question, I have plenty of material to send you. But for those who are not bothered, let's move on. So now let's try to understand what exactly the life of Olam Haba is all about. And here we're just going to read through the Rambam and try to gain an appreciation for the way he describes the world to come. Let's see. Again, very basic. The Rambam here is in Hilchos Tshuva. Why is this in Hilchos Tshuva? The Rambam was very specific in where he placed all of the halachas that he wrote. And everything was canonized in a very particular fashion. And the placement is actually very important. There are times when we learn something just from where the Rambam placed it itself. So why is it that this is in Hilchos Tshuva in particular and not anywhere else? And the answer is very simple. The whole premise of a person having the ability to do tshuva is that we also have the ability to make choices. Right? Tshuva means that we may have done something wrong, but now we can choose to do something right. If you believe that all of life is predetermined and God has already decided for us beforehand what it is that we will do and how we will do it, then how can there be an opportunity for tshuva? So the understanding is, if you believe in tshuva, that means you also believe in bechira chafshas. It means you believe that God gave me the ability to choose how to live my life. And God also, along with that ability to choose, said that as a consequence of the choices that you make, there will be schar va'onesh. There will be reward and punishment based on the decisions that you may have made. There are consequences, both positive and negative. So that's why this is all located particularly in Hilchos Tshuva. So we begin with the following. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Ches, Halacha Aleph. Hatova Hatzfuna LaTzadikim. What is this wonderful payment that we look forward to? Hi Chayeho Olam Haba. That is the experience of Olam Haba. Vihi. What is that life of Olam Haba? That is Hachayim Shein Maves Imahem Vahatova Shein Ima Ra. Olam Haba means a life where one doesn't have to worry about life coming to an end. So as we get older, we should start wondering about, unfortunately, we all have to think about life coming to an end. That's what happens to everyone. And there, says the Rambam, it's not so enjoyable when you're in, I mean, let's just say, you're on your 119th last day on this earth, whatever it is. It's not so enjoyable to just think about what's about to happen. It takes away a little bit from the experience of life. Well, says the Rambam, can you imagine if there was a life where you never had to worry about that? Where ein maves acharehem, where there was no finality, where there was no death, where it would just keep going? And not only that, says the Rambam, hatova she'ein ima ra'a. You know, often in life we have things that excite us and that make us happy. So take for example, someone told me this week they're going on a vacation to a cruise, to Mexico, to the Bahamas, wherever they're going, and they're very excited about it. And they have great trips planned, and all the kids are very happy. But in the back of my mind, as a Jew who lives with guilt and worry, I'm still worried about something. What am I worried about? Well, I still have to worry about this client of mine, and I still have to worry about my house. I don't want it to be flooded. And I read the news, and I hear about a hurricane that might come to my house. And all these things that are still worrying me, even when I'm at the height of having a great time and enjoying myself, there's still a part of me that always worries about something. Or about the person who's next to me on that cruise who's just not behaving respectfully and not being nice to my children. Or I'm always worried about something. Because I'm a responsible person. And a responsible person has many responsibilities. And that means even if I go and I try to detach myself and just merely enjoy whatever it is that I'm doing right now, there's always a part of my mind that has to be thinking about something, because my life is very complex. Anybody share this with me? So says the Rambam, can you imagine? I'm jealous. So says the Rambam, can you imagine Hatova She'eini Mara'a? Can you imagine if you had an experience where it was just pleasurable and there was nothing that you had to worry about at all, and nothing that you ever would have to worry about? Not my health, not whether or not my children are okay, not whether or not my house is okay, not about the tuitions that I need to pay, nothing. There is nothing that I would have to worry about, says the Rambam. That is Olam Haba. Number one, a world where I don't need to worry about finality. And number two, a world where I just don't need to worry about anything. Hard to imagine. This is precisely why we cannot have that experience here, because we can't imagine it, says the Rambam. Hu shekasa b'Torah, that's what it means when we read in Chumash, Leman yitav lach v'harachta yamim. And mipi ashmua lamdu. Chazal teach us, what does that mean? Leman yitav lach. Liolam shekulo tov. What we look forward to is the day when we will be in a world that is kulo tov, that everything is good. V'harachta yamim liolam shekulo aruch. What does it mean to have an arichas yamim? It doesn't mean you're going to live a long life here, 120 years, but rather it means zehu ha'olam haba, to the world that is the endless world, to the world where there is no finality at all. Schar ha'tzadikim hu. What is the reward that will be there? Once we get there, it means sheyizku lenoam zeh v'yihyu b'tova zu. The reward is that you will gain access to such a reality. That's the schar. That's what it means. Upiron harishayimu. Those who do not make the right choices, what are they going to have? Writes the Rambam, shelo yizku lechayim elu. Simple. Can you imagine being left out from such an experience? Is there anything that can feel worse than every single person that you've known in your entire life going on the most amazing expedition, and you are the single member of the community who is left out? Says the Rambam, that's the punishment. That's what it is. Okay? Next paragraph, because the end of this is a little frightening. Yes?
I just have one question.
Yeah.
Aren't we supposed to develop emunah and bitachon so that we don't worry in this world?
It's an interesting question. Aren't we supposed to develop emunah and bitachon so that we don't worry in this world? It's an interesting question. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago, but it's worth repeating. The Radvaz has a fascinating tshuva, where he speaks about somebody who, I don't remember if it was he lost a child or he lost a parent. He lost somebody who was very close. It was a tragic story. And this person sat shiva for a week and didn't cry. So when he was confronted and asked, why is it that you're not crying? He said, because I'm a Baal Bitachon. Why would I cry if I believe and I have emunah that everything God does is for the best? So why would I cry? So that was troubling to people. What do you mean? You just experienced such a tragedy and you don't cry at all for an entire week? How can that be? So they sent the Shaila to the Radvaz. And they asked him, is that an appropriate response? And is that what it means to be a person of emunah and bitachon, that when such a tragedy takes place in your immediate family, you don't even cry? Is that possible? And the Radvaz responded something to the effect of, Ein ze mimidas habitachon v'hemuna ela mimidas ha'achzarius. All we see about a person like that is that you have no heart. Not that you are a great Baal Bitachon. You're an evil person. If a tragedy like that happens and it doesn't affect you, and you just say, I'm a Baal Bitachon. God created tears for a reason. There are experiences in life that are meant even for a Baal Bitachon. There are experiences in life that are meant to make us feel uncomfortable sometimes. That's the way life is. I don't think it takes away from our emunah or our bitachon at all. So I think, I don't know if I'm answering the question, but it's just something to think about. Let's continue with the next paragraph in the Rambam.
Hashem gives us onshim in this world, or challenges,
right,
supposed to be
challenging,
yeah,
right,
not supposed to be brushed.
Correct.
That's part of.
Meaning, the point is, it's a very good point that's being made. If God gives onesh in this world, if God gives someone a challenge in this world, and I just take it and say, oh, God, thank you so much for challenging me, and I'm loving this, then what you're saying is that's not a challenge. And the Ribbono Shel Olam has to give you something else to deal with. Meaning, there are supposed to be challenges in this world. I think. So let's see. The Rambam continues. Next paragraph. Ha'olam Abba. What is the description of Olam Abba? He says, Ein bo guf u gevia, ela nefashos hatzadikim bilvad, belo guf kemalachei hasharis. Says the Rambam, there are no bodies in Olam Haba. Ela nefashos hatzadikim bilvad, all we have is our neshama. Ho ve ein bo gevios, since there are no bodies, ein bo lo achila velo shtia. Therefore, you don't need to worry about food. Velo davar mikol advarim shegufos b'nei adam tzrichen lahem b'olam hazeh. Not only do we not have to worry about food, but we don't have to worry about any physical need that we have as we know it. You will never have fatigue. You will never have to go to sleep. You will never have to stand up to stretch. You will never have to sit down because you're exhausted. We don't have to worry about all the things that generally physical life on this earth makes us worry about, because there is no neshama. Now the Ravid, if you just skip down, I'm sorry, let's just finish that paragraph. What? There's no gviya, right? So what is it? Says the Rambam, if we just continue here. Kach amr chachamim harishonim ha'olam hazeh ein ba la'achila v'lo shtia v'lo tashmish ela tzadikim yoshvim v'atroseyem b'rosheyem v'nenim miziv hashchina. What does it mean to be in this surreal experience? It means that you sit around in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Interesting. And then what? And then what? How long are we going to be sitting there? And what is going to happen? So the Rambam says, what does it mean? Mahu zeu she'amru nenu miziv hashchina? The Rambam asks the same question all of us are asking. What does that mean for me? Am I really interested in sitting around in God's shir for the rest of my life? So the answer, says the Rambam, is it means that we will have the opportunity sheyodim umasigim me'amitas hakadosh baruch hu masheinam yodim vehem beguf ha'afel v'hashafel. We will finally have a perspective and an understanding with clarity of everything that God represents. That's what Olam Haba is. Now you'll say, it doesn't sound so exciting. Well, that's what the Mishnah tells us. It's something that is such an out-of-body experience. It's something we cannot even understand in physical terms. And the Rambam explains the reason why we can't understand it is because we are beguf ha'afel v'hashafel. Because we are confined to physicality and we have no way of appreciating what that real experience is meant to be and how exciting it will be for all of us. But as we said before, the Mishnah says, "Yafesh sha'achas shel koras ruach ba'olam haba, mikol chayi ha'olam hazeh." If you want to understand what a moment of that experience is like, it's more pleasurable than all the experiences of our lives combined, from every positive experience that we've had. One moment is greater than all of that. Now the Ravid jumps on the Rambam here, and he says, how can the Rambam say, Ein bo guf? How can you say there are not going to be any physical bodies there? Omer Avram, Divrei ha'ish hazeh. Who's he talking about? The Rambam. He talks about him like, this man, I don't know where he's coming from. Divrei ha'ish hazeh be'einai krovim l'misha omer ein tchiyas ha'mesim l'gufos. Sounds like the Rambam is saying there's not going to be a tchiyas ha'mesim, which obviously the Rambam is not saying, but the Ravid says, this is insane. How can you say there's not going to be a body in the world to come? That doesn't make sense. So they quibble about the details here, whether or not there will be bodies in Olam Haba, there won't be bodies in Olam Haba, but the basic premise of what the Rambam says is, Olam Haba is all about having the opportunity to appreciate time with the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, and gaining a clarity in everything that he represents. Continue on to the next paragraph. Shema takal be'enecha tovazu. Maybe, as I'm sure many of us are thinking, you will laugh to yourself and say, "V'tidme she'ein schar ha-mitzvos ve'hayosa adam shalem b'darkei ha-emes, ela li'yosa ochel v'shose ma'achalos tovos u'bod tsuros nos." Says the Rambam, you'll say to yourself, "Really? Is that why I invest my entire life for the Ribono Shel Olam? For that? Is that more pleasurable than the way we understand pleasure here today? Wouldn't it be better," says the Rambam, "to have all the wonderful foods and to be paid back with the most beautiful homes and all of the wonderful things that we understand in this world to be pleasurable for us?" Says the Rambam, wouldn't that be more of an appropriate response? Wouldn't that be the schar that we really should be deserving of? Writes the Rambam. V'lovesh bigdei sheish v'rikma. In my imagination, what really excites me is when I wear very expensive clothing. V'shochen ba'alei shein, and I live in a most beautiful house. U'mishtamish b'klei kesev ezav u'dvar madomim la'elu. Says the Rambam, wouldn't it make sense that should be the description of Olam Haba? The Rambam here says, Kimoshe medamim elu ha'arvim ha'tipshim v'ha'avilim ha'shtufim b'zima. We all know why it is that there are Arabs who are willing to go ahead with a terror attack, because we all know what they're promised in the world to come. Says the Rambam, wouldn't that make more sense? That we should also believe in something as pleasurable as that? And whatever we expect pleasure to mean, shouldn't that be what we look forward to? Says the Rambam, Aval ha-chachamim, uvale ha-dea yedu. Those who have a mature perspective understand, Shekol ha-dvarim ha-elu divrei havoi ve-hevelheim, ve-ein bahem to'eles, ve-ein ar tova gedola etzleinu ba-olam hazeh, ela mipnei she'anu bale guf u-gviya. That's not true pleasure. And for anyone who's not convinced of that, if you've ever been in a position where you're spoken to in very personal terms by people who live that life, who live the life of having everything, unfortunately, many of us know that does not always add up to a pleasurable life. And you can have everything in the world, and you're still unhappy. Says the Rambam, a person who has a mature perspective understands that cannot be the schar that God looks forward to giving all of us. It's impossible. It has to be something far more meaningful and profound than just that alone. And therefore the Rambam says, this is what Olam Haba is all about. Look at the last paragraph here where the Rambam says, V'kama kama David v'his'ave l'chayi Olam Haba. How much David HaMelech dreamt about what that experience of Olam Haba is. When he said, Lule ha'amanti leros betuv Hashem be'eretz ha'chaim. I look forward to the time when God will bring me into the Eretz ha'chaim. Kvar hodiyunu chachamim harishonim. And the chachamim have taught us, she'tov asa olam hazeh en koach ba'adam lahasiga alburiya. Says the Rambam, the chachamim have taught us that we have no way of internalizing what that experience means, because it's so beyond our understanding, and it's so outside of the realm of pleasures in this world. Ve'ein yodea gadla v'yafya v'atzma ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu levado. Says the Rambam, this is what all the Nevi'im looked forward to. When the Navi says, Ayin lo rasa Elokim zulasecha. No human eye can ever imagine what it is that you picture for our reward. Zula Secha, you are the only one, God, who can really envision what this is. Says the Rambam, that's what our Mishnah means. Yafe sha'acha shol koras ruach ba'olam haba, mikol chayi ha'olam hazeh. There is nothing in the world that can compare to the schar that we are deserving of for the sacrifice and for the mitzvos and all the wonderful things that we do when we live the experience of life as God wants us to on this earth. So let me just share one final thought, only because I think we've shared enough serious thoughts for now. And it's enough, I guess, to think about for the next few weeks for those who may not have been here at the beginning of the shiur. This is our final shiur for the month of January on Tuesday morning because many people are on vacation. So we will pick up again on February 5th. That's when all the vacations are finished. So we'll pick up then. However, let me just share one final thought. I've discussed with Rav Asher Weiss a number of times how we are meant to respond when people suffer through personal loss of somebody who died tragically. And it's obviously a long conversation, but one of the perspectives that he shared with me, which I found to be very helpful for those who I've told it to, was he said, you know, part of the reason why we find it so difficult when we lose somebody who we're close with is because we have an image that now they're so distant from us that they are in the Olam HaNeshamos. I almost look at this human being who used to be my brother, who used to be my sister, who used to be my child or my parent as they're like so dislocated from my life here and they're so distant, I have absolutely no connection to them anymore. So he shared with me that in his perspective, he feels that even after a person goes into Olam Haba, they retain the same personality that they had here on this earth. And all of the experiences that they had here, it's like almost like they're frozen in time. And all of the experiences that they had here remain true to who they are. They don't just miraculously turn into a new entity, into a Malach Hashem, but they remain the people who they were. What does that mean? He brought a proof to it from a fascinating Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia, I think. I don't remember. The Gemara has a story that on one occasion in history, the Jewish people were doing so many things wrong, and God decided, you know, maybe I should just destroy them. Enough is enough. How many chances can they have? So he calls in Avraham Avinu and he asks, Nu, what do you think? Avraham Avinu says, just destroy them already. Enough. How much Rachmanis can you have? And he calls in Yitzchak, and Yitzchak says, Palgi alai, palgi alach, maybe I'll split it. I'll take some of the punishment, but, you know, destroy the rest of them. Finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's call upon Yaakov Avinu, let's see what he says. Why do you need to ask Yaakov Avinu? So God says, because Yaakov Avinu knows what it means to have Tsar Gidul Banim. Yaakov Avinu dealt with his children, and he had great difficulty with the way the kids acted with each other and the decisions that they made in their lives. Yaakov Avinu knows what it means to be a father of children, of a big family. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need to have the perspective of Yaakov Avinu because he will understand what's really going on here. He will be a person who can have Rachmanis in his heart for children who make the wrong decisions because he was a father of many children. And therefore, his perspective is very different from that of Avram and of Yitzchak. And that's why we need to call upon him to weigh in on this question. Now ask yourself, if once we go into the Olam HaEmes, and it's the world of truth, everybody just turns into this amorphous, everybody turns into this Malach status, and we're no longer the people who we were, what does it matter that Yaakov Avinu was a father of children, and Avram and Yitzchak may not have been? Once we get into the Olam HaNeshamas, into the Olam HaEmes, it means we now see the truth for what it is. And we're no longer trapped by whatever experiences that we had. And what he proved from this Gemara is, and he's told me that he has many other proofs to it as well, what he proved from this Gemara is that even after a person is no longer in Olam HaZeh, they remain the people who they always were. And their personalities remain the same. And their life experiences that shape them here on this earth continue to inform and to shape the purview and the understanding that they have there in the Olam HaEmes. He thought that that was a comforting piece of information to share with people who think that they're so distant from those who are in Olam Haba because what connection do I have to Malachim? But the answer is, you still are a little bit connected because that person still shares the experiences that they had with you. That person still understands the experiences that they had here on this earth. And that person is still living in some way and thinking about whatever it is that went on while they were together with you. So it's just something to consider. Again, as we learned in our Mishnah, Schar Onesh is so critical. Like the Gemara says, Gan Eden and Gehenna were created before the world was created. But although that's true, our Mishnah says, that's not a way to live life. To always be asking, how much reward am I going to be getting? How much punishment am I going to get for this? The Mishnah says, "Al tiu ka'avanim hamashamshim esarav almanas lekavol pras." Life is about building and developing, nurturing a mature relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a meaningful relationship with Him. And the same way when you have a spouse or when you have children, you don't expect that they're always going to be a tit for tat and they're always going to be keeping track of exactly who's doing what for who, but we expect to develop a meaningful relationship with each other that is not always going to be exactly based upon what I did for you and what you did for me, but rather how much we mean to each other. That, says the Mishnah, is what we think about here as we go through the experience on this earth, in this Olam that we consider to be the Erev Shabbos. Umishatarach be'Erev Shabbos, somebody who works hard and exerts energy and is willing to invest on Erev Shabbos, will be assured that they will be from those people who are Yochal b'Shabbos, who will enjoy that meaningful experience of what Olam Haba is meant to be all about for us. So I wish everyone...